What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
The NBA playoffs are here, and with FanDuel, your group chat's about to be going off. Because right now, new customers can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets if you win. And with live bets, your heart emojis will really be racing from tip-off to the final buzzer. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid faster than your friends can send you a victory gif. Or is it GIF? Who cares? You won! So get the word out to your crew and download FanDuel today. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets if you win. Make every moment more with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Official partner of the NBA.
21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. On today's show, Greg Jennings explains why Le'Veon Bell's teammates are being completely out of bounds. Plus, Skip and Shannon make their Super Bowl picks now that the NFL is officially back. Will the Cowboys pony up? Get Earl Thomas from the Seahawks? Skip Shannon, let's get to it.
Le'Veon Bell did not report to the Steelers facility yesterday like many people, including some of his teammates, expected. Bell's agent told SiriusXM yesterday that Le'Veon will, quote, get there when he's there. Offensive lineman Ramon Foster criticized Bell to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, saying, quote, here's a guy who doesn't give a damn. He's making seven times what I make, twice as much as Alejandro Villanueva is making, and we're the guys who do it for him. Here's more from Foster and Marquise Pouncey on Bell's absence.
Well, I think we were just all grown enough to finally accept things at some point, and you're just like, all right, you know what? If you don't want to be here, it is what it is, and hold out 10 weeks. It's totally fine with us. Like, as a team, we're totally fine. It takes 11 guys, not just one.
Do you take this personally?
Him not here now?
Plays out the way it has.
Honestly, I'm such a team guy that doesn't affect me at all. But at this point, it looks like to all of us that he's not in the game plan. So we're going to move ahead with Connor, and Connor's eager and ready to get out there.
In the ultimate team sport, we've created a league of individuals in a sense. I know the league is all about get your money, get paid. I love it. But my perspective is a whole lot different now. I'm in year 10. This guy, what is Le'Veon, about to go into year 7? You know, you're not getting younger, so win it, get paid next year. I get it. I understand it. Get your money, but I don't know. At least let us know.
Fox NFL analyst Greg Jennings is joining us today. And, Greg, I do want to ask you if you're surprised by these teammates calling him out.
Surprised? They are completely out of bounds.
Wow.
Like, this is the number one no-no. You do not talk about another guy's contract situation.
Wow.
This is absolutely blowing me away. I mean, for Raymond Foster to say what he just said, I'm in year 10. That is even more of a reason he's going into year 7. You should understand it even more.
Thank you.
Like, what are you saying right here? Like, Le'Veon Bell is doing what he needs to do for him, and that's all that matters right now. This doesn't make him any less of a team guy. It's not appealing to fans. It's not appealing to an organization. It's not appealing to anyone who's not in that circle or going through it with you. But you don't hear Antonio Brown saying anything. You don't hear guys like that. You want to know why? Because they understand. Mm. They know what it means to be a playmaker, be that guy, and to kind of be slighted. And to watch everybody else get paid and you sit on the back burner and you have to just take what you take. It's not about him not making a lot of money, because we understand he would make
$14.5 million.
Yeah, $14.5 million with that if he signed
franchise tag.
The franchise tag right now. But when we look across of what has taken place with Todd Gurley right up the street, and I'm not saying that he's worth every penny that Todd Gurley is worth. Not saying that at all, but he's in that field. Mm-hmm. He's in that range. But for these guys to speak out and say, obviously we see who he is and he's not a team player. number one, his time in Pittsburgh, Le'Veon, it's time to go.
Yeah.
Like, when your offensive linemen throw you out there like that, we're the guys that do it for them. This sounds like they're being a little individual too, mm-hmm. a little selfish too.
We.
Like, and then you start comparing how much money you got in your pocket to mine. You don't do, Shannon, you don't do that.
I told Skip I wasn't surprised. I was shocked.
You don't do that.
No.
That is an absolute no-no. Huh.
Yeah, it would be a problem for me, Skip, if I was a running back to be 100% with you, because I'm going to step to him. I'm going to step, as soon as I hit the locker room, I'm going to step to him. Why y'all commenting on my situation? If you don't have anything positive to say, just keep quiet. Because Ramon Foster said, Skip, get paid next year. Does he know football is a one hit away and there is no next
Where
year?
Where did they do that at?
This dude said, get paid next year.
I think he just meant you should have taken the tag earlier in camp, a couple of weeks back, and take your 14.5 and then get your bigger money next year.
No, the bigger money is not coming. Le'Veon says, hold on. You're right. This is a team. Team Le'Veon. I'm doing what's in the best interest of Le'Veon Bell. Because the Pittsburgh Steelers over the last 2 years have said, you know what? We love you, but not that we're not going to make that long-term commitment. So we're 1 year. We're 12.3, 12.4, whatever the franchise number was last year. We're 14.5. So Le'Veon says, hold on. I get it. I've been nicked, and I had some substance abuse, whatever. I got suspended. But, dude, I've been here. And I've done it. Hey, first team All-Pro. Get your 1,300 yards rushing. Mm-hmm. Catch your 80 yards out of the backfield. What my payday? Mm. I mean, they took care of Villanueva. They took care of Hayward. Mm-hmm. They took care of all them guys. Big Ben had 2 years left on his deal. They took care of him.
They did.
They took care of AB. Le'Veon, like, whoa, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Where my payday? And the player, this is why we can never, the NFL, and I was a part of the NFL, we can never have a guaranteed contract.
Yep.
Because you see what happened, Skip? The big money guy, the little money guy is going to look at the big money guy. Y'all can hold out because y'all making 8, 12, 15, 20 million. I'm only making 500,000 to a million. Mm-hmm. I got to go cross the picket line.
Yep.
So, boom, now the owners have got him. Because here's the thing. The Steelers, this went way better than the Steelers' hope. The Steelers already knew the fans were going to side with
them. But the team?
But players in the locker room? So, now he's getting squeezed from a lot of different mm-hmm. – the fans squeezing. His teammates squeezing. His coach is squeezing him.
Now his coach is squeezing him.
Le'Veon was on the island by himself. Mm-hmm. And the Sharks are not only the fans, they're his teammates and his coaching staff. Just circling. Le'Veon said, you know what? I'm going to come on and get this $14.5 million. Mm-hmm. But that's what y'all paid me for. Y'all paid me $14.5 million for the season. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm coming. Not for training camp. Not for OTAs. Nope. I'll see y'all Saturday at 3:59. Holler at your boy. Mm.
So the Pittsburgh Steelers, to both your points, just made NFL history. They became the first team ever that I can ever remember. And I've been covering this game a lot longer than you two have played this game. They're the first team ever to throw a holdout teammate under the team bus. Under the team bus.
You're right.
I have never seen anything like this, and I've covered way too many holdouts. The classic Emmitt Smith holdout, 1993 season, first two games. Did one teammate say one negative word about Emmitt Smith? Heck no. Nope. They loved him. They applauded him. They pulled for him. They were together waiting for him. They wanted him. Charles Haley took his helmet after they lost the first game and threw it through the wall. He actually
Washington
broke.
Monday night game.
Yeah. Because he wanted Emmitt back. And finally, Jerry Jones broke down because the pressure swung back to the owner. You got to go get this done.
Right.
And he went and got it done. And the rest is NFL history because Emmitt was the regular season MVP and the Super Bowl MVP.
Look how Khalil Mack's teammates, after he's gone, still talking about him.
Yes.
He did report. And Derek Carr, like, I miss him. I'm going to miss my brother.
Yeah.
So something deeper is going on here. Mm-hmm. There's something missing in that locker room when it comes to Le'Veon Bell. There's no love lost. There's no deep connection to Le'Veon, or they wouldn't have turned on him this quickly. We're not even to game number one.
Right.
Maybe if it was game three and they said he's doing this, you know, he's betrayed us for three games.
Because he still can come in and be there on Sunday.
But something, and I'm just speculating on this, but he did get suspended twice, obviously, for substance abuse. And there are times when, in my point of view, from my perspective, he cares almost as much about his rap career as he does about playing football. And something is going on deeper here where they were quicker to turn on him than any team has ever been in, on any star teammate holdout, right?
I agree. Yep.
So maybe there's some other issue here that we don't know about because the offensive line turned on him and said, they're basically saying, we made him, he didn't make us, right?
Right.
So he should be grateful to us for what we've done for him.
It's not like they out there like they blocking for free.
Yeah. I guess my issue, and I agree with some of that. I don't know if there is something deeper, but I think this has a lot, if not everything, to do with the influence of social media. Because when we saw Earl Thomas and what he said and what he tweeted out, that I'm coming back and I'm coming back for my teammates because I've dedicated, I put in so much hard work in my time. This has been my life. Mm-hmm. And so he made it a point to let his teammates know, I'm coming back for you.
Right.
Like that's, and I think these guys, you can't always look at everybody's situation. Earl Thomas is 29 years old. Like, and he is the last thing left on that Legion of Boom.
Yep.
So he doesn't have, the locker room doesn't look the same to him.
Mm-mm.
With Le'Veon Bell, like, you've grown together with Le'Veon Bell.
Yep.
You're still in the locker room with him. To your point, what those guys did in Dallas with Emmitt Smith, they didn't put the pressure on Emmitt. They put the pressure on Jerry Jones.
No doubt.
Right.
Because they knew how valuable and important Emmitt Smith was and is. That's what these guys should have done. If you have anything to say, it should be, I hope they get something worked out.
Yeah.
I hope they take care of Le'Veon. He's worth it.
Right.
But that's not my place. You do not go on the other side and start comparing your dollars in your bank account to then his.
By the way, you did make one other great point about we did not hear from one Antonio Brown.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is it possible that we're going to have a backlash to the backlash? We're always talking about how Pittsburgh is always fractured on all sorts of issues.
Right.
Is it possible that the Pounceys and the Ramon Fosters are going to get attacked internally by Antonio and the other receivers, or I don't know, maybe some defensive
but
players?
But I want Mike to, because we always, and Coach Tomlin and coaches always say is that we don't comment on family business personally. Mm-hmm. I want to hear what he has to say about this. Because, see, what we don't mind you commenting.
Well, remember, he's turned into a big James Conner fan, as the rest of the team has.
Well, this is what we know about coaches in front office. We don't mind you airing family business if we're trying to get our point across. If we're trying to make it look like one of these guys are ungrateful. The dude, look, well, we want Antonio in. If you wanted Antonio Brown, you could have signed him to a long-term deal 2 years ago. If you'd have given that, guess what? Le'Veon Bell is in camp. He's ready, prime, ready to go. But since he says, like, you're going to treat me 1 year to year, I'll show up 359, I'll be ready to go on Sunday. Whether or not you put me in the game, that's on you. Mm. But that's when I'm showing up. Not everybody up in the – I can't believe Ramon Foster. I cannot believe Marquise. I've never, ever. I disagree with a lot of guys, Skip, but when it came time to them getting their money,
you don't
money.
Get it.
It's fascinating to me. Hearing it from you guys, hearing it from you, who've covered this league for so many years, I find it just so interesting.
Yeah, I got to talk to him. I got to have a conversation.
Yeah. Really. What?
I got to.
You talk about me not saying – you call me and you tell me that. You don't tell that to the media.
This is why I can never pick the Steelers to win anything. Yeah.
Unfortunately, until they stop talking about each other and throwing each other under the bus, it's not going to go very well. Greg, thank you for being here.
No mercy.
The NFL season starts tonight in Philly with the defending champion Eagles hosting the Falcons. According to Westgate, the Eagles and Rams have the best odds to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. Over in the AFC, the Patriots are the heavy favorite again to win their conference. They're followed by the Steelers, Jaguars, and Chargers. Mm. Shannon, give me your Super Bowl prediction.
Mm.
Skip, you know, I could have taken chalk. I know that's
you
what
you usually do.
No,
oh,
you chalk.
Please,
teacher.
I never take chalk.
You're like a fourth grade teacher. That's all you got up on your desk.
You're chalk Shayhawk. That's all you ever
do. No.
Yeah, you
well,
are.
I ain't got chalk this time around. Because I'm going way, way out there.
You
didn't see this one coming, Skip. Yeah, this ain't coming from left field. This thing coming from Mars. I got to go with my old teammate as a head coach. in the very division that I spent 12 years.
Uh-oh, I know who that is. We're nearby.
Yeah, we're very nearby. Yep. Skip, I'm going to take the Chargers.
Woo.
I just believe that this is the year that they finally put it all together.
Okay, I'll give you from Mars. Philip
Rivers has been as consistent as any quarterback in the National Football League. Mm-hmm. The only thing that's hurting him is that Drew Brees left.
Yep.
Because that's who he took over for and went to New Orleans, and he's played out of his mind since he's been down there.
Mm-hmm.
But Phillip Rivers is over 50,000 yards, over 300 touchdowns, and has been very good, and he's healthy. Count on him every single week. And you look at Melvin Gordon, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams. Mike Williams, last year's number one overall draft
pick,
draft pick, is finally healthy.
He is.
And their defense, with Joey Bosa and Ingram, and your guy from Vanderbilt.
Thank you. I thought you weren't even going to bring him up. Casey Hayward, Vanderbilt University.
Corey Leger.
Best cornerback in football. Go ahead.
One of. Mm-hmm. Corey Leger gets back after four games for the PED violations.
That's a lot of stuff.
I like the Chargers coming out of the AFC. Now, the NFC was really, really hard for me because, I believe there are like six or seven teams that could actually represent the NFC.
Mm-hmm.
But I got a team coming out of the NFC South that's going to represent the NFC. I'm going with the New Orleans Saints.
Mm-hmm.
I just like what they were able to do last year, and I believe that it took the Minnesota Miracle to keep them from advancing to the NFC title game.
Mm-hmm.
Drew Brees will be Drew Brees. That running game. Now, Mark Ingram, another one, four games, PED. They signed Gillislee.
They did.
After being released from New England.
Yep.
And Alvin Kamara is special.
He's
special. They can throw it to him. They can hand it to him. Michael Thomas, whoo, he's coming.
Mm-hmm.
I like them. So I'm going to say it's going to be New Orleans and San Diego. And I'm going to take the Saints over the Chargers in Super Bowl 53.
I think they're called the L.A. Chargers.
L.A.
No, that's okay. I'll give you that.
You're still holding on.
I'm going to preface my prediction by saying, throughout the offseason, as you know all too well, my momentum built to pick my Dallas Cowboys to make it to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And then some things started going wrong. And I was hinging my pick on Jerry Jones' ability to land one Earl Thomas. And I'm not writing it off. We're going to talk about it here in just a few minutes on the show.
Okay.
But I'll still hinge on that. If you told me that tomorrow Earl Thomas was a Cowboy, or even by Saturday he was a Cowboy, I would plunge on this.
What about the trade deadline?
Well, that's eight games in, right? So I don't love that. It's too many games. I need him now because I don't need Jeff Heath and Kayvon Frazier at safety. They are unsafe at safety, and I can't go that far, especially in an absolutely mind-bogglingly loaded NFC, because the NFC is hard to pick, and I dare somebody to try to pick a team to win the NFC because it just blows your brain out.
It is. They're
loaded. You get a headache trying to sift through all of it.
There's 7-8 teams that can legitimately skip represents the NFC.
And I believe Dallas is one of them. I've told you from the start, I got this weird good feeling about this team. But obviously, if you take Travis Frederick out for X games, and I don't know how many X games are, so I can't, I have to hinge, and so I can't plunge on this one. Now, back to these picks. I want to remind everyone, you and I do not confer before the show about anything. I have no earthly idea where you're going to go on anything on this show, especially with your picks.
Nope.
And you can be a pretty loose cannon on your opinions, too. So I have no idea. Half the time, I'm just stunned over here on live TV. Like, you just said that?
Yeah.
You just went there? Okay. So once again, I was stunned for the wrong reason with your pick, because I agree with your New Orleans pick.
Wow.
And I thought I was at least out of right field, maybe not left field. But again, New Orleans is in the odds makers. Fourth choice to win the NFC, but I really like New Orleans. Now, I'll tell you this. My heart would love to see Aaron Rodgers versus Tom Brady in the Super Bowl.
That's I almost went with Green Bay.
Okay, well, I tried to talk myself into it, and I'm just not sure about their defense. And obviously, you keep throwing back at me, well, Aaron has to carry the whole show. Well, I'm not sure about the running game or the defense. They got four kids in the secondary I really like, but they're still kids.
Right.
They're first and second year kids. Is that good enough? I don't like their linebackers. I'm not completely convinced about the offensive line. I like the receiving core. I like Jimmy Graham. I like all that. I like Mike Patton running the defense. He's good.
Yeah,
That'll give him a new jolt.
Yeah.
I like the new GM. I think there's a new energy there. Aaron got his money, but I don't think they're good enough in this conference to survive this conference.
Right.
I don't think they're good enough to survive their division because I still think Minnesota is just, I'm not a Kirk Cousins fan, but they are so loaded.
It's at been, every other position.
Okay, at every other position. You certainly know that.
That's too obvious. Like, you like just go, oh, that was so obvious. I got to keep it together.
Do I trust Kirk Cousins in the postseason? I do not. Are they going to get to the postseason? I'm pretty sure they will. But even in that division, Chicago is better, obviously, with Khalil Mack. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Detroit, with Coach Pencil, you know, they're pretty good. They're going to win eight games. I'll bet you Matthew Stafford figures a way to win eight games. So could that take a bite out of Green Bay? It could.
Sure.
Are they going to upset them once? So my heart says, boy, would I love to see your guy Aaron Rodgers against my guy Tom Brady. Would the NFL love that in the Super Bowl?
Oh, my goodness, would they?
Oh. But the second best for me would be Drew Brees versus Tom Brady. So back to the Saints. And you made the case, and I'll make it even stronger. This is the most solid team top to bottom in the NFC. Top to bottom, most solid team, because Drew Brees didn't have just a good year last year. I thought he had a spectacular year.
Every year.
Well, but last year he set the all-time percentage of completions record. 72%. He had his best touchdowns to interception ratio of his whole career, 23-8. It wasn't high touchdowns, so he wasn't a fantasy darling.
Because they ran the ball so effectively, and Kamara and Ingram were scoring down there.
They were fifth in the league in running the football. And Drew Brees said on our show at the Super Bowl in Houston, we got to balance up. Well, they balanced up. And then they managed to draft the defensive rookie of the year at corner. And the other kid who made all-rookie team at safety, Marcus Williams, made the one blunder that cost them the one miracle in the Minneapolis game. And yet, I still believe that Drew Brees and company would have given Philly a much better game at Philly than the Vikings did with Case Keenum.
Right?
I agree.
Okay? So now New Orleans comes into this year with the biggest chip on its shoulder pads in the NFC because they got something to get even for, right? Mm-hmm. And they do get to go back to Minnesota. So this is just me. I trust Drew Brees in the postseason over Aaron Rodgers. And I know you disagree with that, but I just do. I think Drew Brees has been really good in the postseason. So this time I'm going to trust him. So I'm going to agree with you on that pick.
Okay.
Which brings us to the other side of the equation. And I thought last year you had learned your lesson. And you did. It was the classic, if you can't beat him, join him. So you joined Tom Brady. You came over to this side of the table 1 year ago today, and you picked New England.
Indeed.
And you were correct, sir.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And you didn't learn your lesson.
I did.
Because you just couldn't stand it, so you had to try to talk yourself out of Tom Brady and into the Chargers.
Yep.
I will remind you, 1 year ago, I had one dark horse pick out of the AFC West to just be a wild card team. Do you remember? No, I picked him to win the AFC West.
You picked him to win it.
The L.A. Chargers.
Yep.
And now I can't get on that bandwagon to go to drive it all the way to the Super Bowl, but I don't completely discount your pick because that team, you made all the case. They are loaded.
They are.
But Phillip Rivers in the postseason, man, he's been shaky. He's the best quarterback to have no real playoff resume, right?
Yeah.
And boy, could he use what you're talking about?
Yeah. Ooh. I'm telling you, Skip, they're going to be to deal with.
Really?
But go ahead and make your case for chalk. I knew you had chalk over there. I see your hands. They're all white.
It's not chalk.
Yeah, it is.
It's just the truth. It's not chalk. It's truth. Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback ever. And he's playing at an even higher level now than he did 5 or 6 years ago. How can you bet against that? That's not smart.
It is.
No, it's not smart.
Because I'm going to play the odds. The odds is there's only one team that's ever gone to three straight Super Bowls. That's the Buffalo Bills.
Well, there's only one Tom Brady.
Well, I'm just saying, Skip. Okay. You say I'm playing the odds.
You're spitting into the wind. You're doing.
This thing... he's a guy. I mean, he doesn't come all the time, but he comes at when guys and when athletes start to get a certain age, Jenny, Father Time. And sometimes you don't even have to call him. He'll just show up unannounced, out of nowhere, when you least expect it. He's like a solicitor. You sitting down to have a good meal, and they ring the doorbell trying to sell you something. No, I can order it off Amazon if I needed that. So get away from my house. Father Time coming, Skip Bayless. I don't care how many documentaries he released, Tom versus
By the way,
Time.
We're going to talk about the latest Tom versus Time, the epilogue, because he says in the epilogue, in effect, I'm just going to play until I'm 45. Well, he's 41, so that's 4 more years.
He ain't not.
You know? So you're going to be haunted. You're going to have a 4-year nightmare.
Nah.
So let's start with the fact that the New England Patriots play the easiest schedule in the NFL.
Yep.
That's by some rankings.
Ain't no by some it is. They play the Jets, and they got Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Not Minnesota, Miami in that division.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Buffalo.
So that should mean that Tom Brady is going to have a couple of home playoff games, right?
Probably all of them at home.
Okay. Tom Brady, as we speak, is 19-3 in the postseason at home. 19-3, the Ravens got him twice, mm-hmm. and Rex Ryan got him once. Mm-hmm. That's all he's lost.
Yep.
19-3. And you're willing to say that Phillip Rivers is going to go to Foxborough and beat him? Because that's what you just picked.
Well, he might have to go there. Phillip Rivers might be so good, they might have home field throughout.
How?
Easy, they're good.
With them playing this schedule?
Yeah, don't worry about
that. Well, they're going to have a horrendous year. And by the way, the defense, it got a little better. Dont'a Hightower is back.
Yeah.
They couldn't stop the run. They were 20th against the run last year. It'll get better because that Danny Shelton that they traded for from the Browns, he gives them an anchor that they haven't had. And Adrian Claiborne, boy, he wreaked havoc on Dak Prescott last year, and they signed him in the preseason, he looked like he was bringing it, man.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, I'm saying, you know what? This defense could be a little better than last year. And the offense, would you believe the offensive line is now the lowest paid offensive line in all of football? And it doesn't matter.
What they do with all that money, though? Because they're really not playing anybody any money.
So Tom Brady takes a hometown discount, and the line is the lowest paid. I don't know where it goes. Maybe Belichick just pockets it, for all I know. Maybe it's a good way to get rich quick.
Maybe they're paying Tom on the side.
Maybe they're not.
I
think you better not try that. Busted. So, in the end, no Edelman, no Amendola, no Brandon Cooks. No problem. It's Tom Brady. I'm not betting against this guy. I'm sorry. He's going to be back in yet another Super Bowl. And this time, I believe he gets his revenge, not on Philadelphia, but I believe it'll be on Drew Brees. And that's a pretty good matchup. Yeah, that's it. Over. Yeah.
Michael Jordan, yeah. Chalk.
Chalk?
You.
No, smart.
No, chalk.
Not smart.
Watch.
Huh?
Have him right. Yeah.
Okay, can I have at least one case of
Dew?
No. That's how little
conviction. I thought we were going to do, right? No? Mm-hmm. Not yet? No Dew?
Hold on.
Have some conviction.
You want to
I got Tom Brady, you can have Phillip Rivers.
No, you want to hear it, but I want to take the Cowboys, but
well,
I
wanted to.
Well, go ahead and take them.
Okay, give me Earl Thomas tomorrow, and it's done.
No.
It's done.
No.
I got him. What? I still like him a lot.
Well, okay, well, give the Chargers Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. Or give, I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. No. As is, we got to pick as is.
Mm.
I mean, if that's the case, I mean, one injury is going to blow up everybody's pick.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And they will get blown up. You just watch.
My guys stay healthy.
I got Tom Brady to win it all, and I feel real good about that. Want to bet just one case? How about just one Dew? How about a single bottle of Diet Dew
I can see
the headline. You don't even have that much conviction.
Breeze blows over the river.
Wow.
Really? That's deep.
Well done.
Yeah.
That's lyrical. No
mercy. So Earl Thomas is back in Seattle. The 6-time Pro Bowler ended his holdout in practice with the team yesterday. But it's not all positive since Thomas tweeted, quote, "The disrespect has been well noted and will not be forgotten."
Ooh.
The Cowboys were seen as a possible trade destination for Thomas. Yes, Skip is happy.
Mm-hmm.
Still hoping. Adam Schefter reported they offered a second-round draft pick, but Seattle wanted more in a potential deal. I know Skip is ready on this one, but I'm still going, Shannon. How will this end with Earl Thomas?
I don't think he'll be heading south, Skip. Old Seahawk ain't gonna fly south.
Wishful thinking on your
part? No. It's not gonna happen.
Huh?
My thing is that I think what transpired, Skip, is that Seattle saw Khalil Mack go for 2 first-rounders. They're like, Earl Thomas is at least half as good as Khalil Mack, so we should at least get 1 first-rounder.
Mm-hmm.
And if that was the case, why don't you just put this up this offseason? You're negotiating. Mm-hmm. You get closer and closer to the season. Seattle see you as being desperate, really wanted it. They're like, well, how high can you go?
Because
it was reported that Dallas had a 3rd round on the table, then eventually they got to this, the 2nd rounder. Well, Seattle said, well, if you really, really want him, give us a first. Mm-hmm. And that's when Dallas, I guess Dallas appeared to be walking away. Mm-hmm. If they wanted Earl Thomas, Skip, you got to go get him. And you got to, like, you can't be like, ah, oh, man.
Yep.
That's a really high price to pay. Mm-hmm. Like you said, you got to go plunge and don't look back. That's what you got to do. You're like, okay, we're going to get Earl. We feel he's going to be the missing piece to this defense. You take us over the top. Boom, go get it done. Mm-hmm. I don't see it happening now, Skip. Mm. They're not going to make this deal today or tomorrow. He's not going to be a Seahawk. Mm. I mean, a Cowboy. I'm sorry.
He's definitely not going to be a Seahawk for all that much longer because I think he's out, man.
Why?
Well, Jenny read the quote about, what was that? The disrespect has been well noted and will not be forgotten.
Skip.
So at some point, sooner than later, like at the end of the year, he's leaving. That's what I'm saying.
But here's the thing, though, Skip. He started this.
Okay.
After a game in Dallas, he ran up the tunnel,
hugged
the head coach and said, come get me.
Thank you.
What's the disrespect? What do you think Pete Carroll and John Snyder upstairs like, what?
Well, maybe they started it first.
How?
Well, they just indicated they weren't going to give him the kind of money he was asking for. He wanted them to tear up his deal and start it over.
Point.
I am not giving up on Earl Thomas, but I must say, this sounds suspiciously to me as if the Seattle Seahawks just jerked the rug right out from under Jerry Jones. That's what it sounds like. And to your point, Khalil Mack drops for two first-round picks.
True.
It sounded like they were arm wrestling, tug-of-warring back and forth, and it became, Jerry, give us a two, and it's a deal.
Right.
And Jerry wrestled and wrestled and wrestled, and it sounded like yesterday Jerry said, okay, I give in, I give up, I will give you our second-round pick next year for Earl Thomas. And they said, no. No. And you know how Jerry is. If you take him for a ride in a negotiation, woo. He is a proud and stubborn man.
Uh-huh.
He does not play that kind of game by those kind of rules. It sounded like they just jerked the rug right out from under and said, no, you know what? Now we want a one.
Right.
And they might ask for, I'm not privy to the negotiations, but let's start with that, a one. But you know what I said? I tweeted this immediately when I read this story.
Give it to him.
Give him a one. So what? You give him next year's Leighton Vander Esch? Seriously.
Because here's the thing, though, Skip. You believe that the Cowboys are going to be good, so that pick's going to be somewhere in the mid to late 20s.
And if you get Earl Thomas, it's going to be in the late 20s.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. So
and you can hear from the quotes from Zeke in the locker room. This was a big deal to them. You tell me, if you're in that locker room, are you not waiting
bombshell,
man? You get Earl Thomas?
Yeah.
Walking into your locker room, how much better would you feel about your chances if Earl walks through that door?
Because he's a proven commodity.
He's the best safety, free safety in football. Mm-hmm. You've got to do it. His coach of the first 8 years in Seattle is your coach. Mm-hmm. It's begging to get done. But Jerry is proud and stubborn, and if you bamboozle him like that, and it sounded like, I don't know this for a fact, but that's how it came across to me. And I'm with you that the Khalil Mack deal had impact, resounding impact on this, right?
Because there you got to say Earl is at least half as good as Khalil.
And you know what? He is,
yeah.
And I agree. So why not a one? But Jerry's going to be dug in, so it's going to play a little longer. Is it possible that by tomorrow they make a deal? It's possible, but now he's reported, so that makes it a little less likely. Now, the Dallas Morning News report says it may play until the trade deadline, but again, their notion here is, their feeling is that it will get done by the trade deadline. You asked me earlier in the show, do you want that? Do you like that? I don't like that because they got to open at Carolina. That's a hard game. You need Earl Thomas at Carolina.
Well, Skip, you know how it goes. Here's the thing. You throw a number out there. You're like, I want this number. You're trying to sell something. You don't think they're going to give you that. But then it's like, okay, I pay, like, whoa. Mm-hmm. You're going to give me that, so it must be worth more than that. Let me see if I throw out another number. Let me throw out another number and see if you'll give me that. So that seems to be what Seattle was doing, Skip.
What was my first reaction right here in this seat when I heard it only a two?
Only two,
Only a two?
Yeah.
Jerry, just do it.
Right.
Like, Jerry, you should run the pick all the way to Seattle by yourself, right?
Yes.
Right up there,
Right? Come on.
And that's what happens, Skip.
So for next year's one, so what? It's Earl Thomas. He's 29 years old.
Didn't want to. Nope.
Huh?
Nope, Jerry said, I'm stingy. I'm holding my
picks. I promise you,
I'm building through the draft.
You know how Jerry's like a hardcore negotiator, and he is bent out of shape right
now. Yeah,
he don't
like to feel like he's been had.
Yeah, he got had.
Yeah. Because they were playing out like Jared wasn't willing to give in. Yeah. Jared didn't want to trade the second round pick. Jared. And then he finally says, okay.
He slept on it and slept on it. And, you know, Stevens at his elbow saying, come
Dad,
on.
Yeah, Dad.
He calls him Jerry. He says, Jerry, come on.
You know what? Yeah.
Wake
he
up.
He does call him Jerry.
He calls him Jerry.
Yeah.
Wake up. Wise up. Jerry,
I've always
just do this. And Jerry finally said, you know what? He mellowed on it. He said, okay. Call them, tell them they got their two.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
Wait a sec.
Guess what? Everything just changed, and Jerry is steaming over this, and it's going to take him another couple of days to calm back down over what just transpired. Mm-hmm. But what price is a season, man? I mean, it's just so if a two goes to a one, big deal. Just do it. Swallow your pride,
because
he's going to have to swallow it now, and you don't want him to, obviously. Nope.
Skip, I was
very happy with
you. You know what you mentioned? You mentioned that Stephen, Jerry's son, calls his dad by his first name.
Yeah.
I have some cousins that used to call their mom by their first name.
I've been around this too.
I asked my mom.
It always shakes me up.
Yeah, right? I asked my mom, could I call? She said, boy, I slapped the taste out your mouth.
No, I mean, who?
I mean, how you do this?
It's just too weird.
It's weird to me. I know a lot of people do it, though.
Yeah, have you ever said Mary?
No, just when telling you.
Oh.
My mom, you know, yeah. Mary.
What do you call her?
Mom. Mom and Dad. Okay. It's weird to me. I agree. It's weird to me. But is Jerry, he's just in a different place than Dad, maybe?
I don't know what that is.
But he likes everybody. He likes going by his first name. He doesn't like for you to call him Mr. Jones. Like some, you know, some Mr. Rooney, used to, Mr. Rooney or some Mr. This, Mr. Richardson. But Jerry doesn't like you
calling
him Mr.
You know what? He's always, I've been around him a lot. He treats Stephen more like a brother than a son.
He does. Hmm.
So, because they're like, they do everything together.
Interesting.
They party together. They do everything. So it's like brother to brother. Mm-hmm. It's like he's his big brother more than his dad.
Yeah.
Been at any of those parties?
Not me. He has.
I don't know. Huh?
Yeah. Oh, secret?
I thought Jerry had kind of bought him off at the last party. Hall of Fame party.
I missed it, Skip. I should have went out there.
Really?
Yeah,
I should have went to that one.
Oh, well. Okay.
$16 million, Skip. I want to see what $16 million buys you in terms of a party.
I'm sure you
I heard a lot. Justin Timberlake performing. And 2,000 people in unlimited alcohol. Shrimp, all the lobster, and you could eat. 2,000 people.
One day I'll get there, probably not.
I ain't spending 16
minutes. Up next, we'll discuss Tom Brady's future.
No mercy.
Tom Brady is still a few years away from being an AARP member. You guys like that one? Okay,
yep,
he's 41 years old and entering his 19th season in the league. The reigning MVP hinted at playing till his mid-40s last season, and he did not shy away from that in the latest Tom versus Time episode. Take a listen.
I would love to play 5 more years. I'd love to play 41, 42, 43, 44, 45. It'll be a challenge for me. I don't think it's going to be easy. It's going to be hard to do. I think it's going to be very hard to do. But I think I can do it.
And once you stop, you're done. And I think I'm not ready to say that I'm done because I don't feel like I am. I still feel there's things to accomplish. Be like getting close to the top of the mountain. Be like, that's good, I'm good. It's like, no, you're really hard to get to this point. Why not finish it off? Look at my career from, 32, 33 on, a lot of players retire at 33, you look at football, 10-year career, that's an amazing career. I think the last 8 years of my career have been better than the first 10, so I should just prolong it. And that's what I'm trying to do.
Wow. All right, Shannon, what percentage chance do you give Brady of
negative playing? 1 million.
Five
negative
years.
1 million. Negative 1 million. That's less than zero. I needed a number that was less than zero. So negative is less.
Mm-hmm.
You got negative or positive integer, Skip Baylor. So negative.
How do you know that?
Because I get it. It sounds good. Oh, Tom Brady said he's going to play till he's 45. Okay. This is what we know about New England. Everybody must play to a standard. And that standard is set by Coach Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
And at any time he deems that you're not playing to that standard, mm-hmm. you got to go.
Okay.
Now, he tried to get rid of Tom Brady, who's still playing above the standard.
Mm-hmm.
So you mean to tell me that Coach Belichick, that you believe Tom Brady's going to be playing at this standard at 43, 44, 45? Nah, I don't believe it. I don't see it.
Mm.
So there's negative 1 million chance that Tom Brady is quarterbacking in the NFL at 45.
Mm. You want to bet me $1 billion?
I already owe you a billion.
I know, so he owes me $1 billion.
A billion?
A billion.
I might just bet it.
Be careful. Jeez.
So think about what he just said.
I heard what he said.
41, 42, 43. He counted them all.
Yeah.
Just for you.
Yes.
Because he knew every number that rose higher just stuck you deeper, right?
Yep.
And this would be your all-time worst nightmare if, God help us, if you and I are together, the three of us are together for all the way through age 45 with Tom Brady, would this not be nightmarish for you? Would this not haunt you day after day if he was still playing at an MVP level at age 45?
I don't, you know what, Skip, as a matter of fact, I stayed up late last night.
Yeah.
Watching the tennis match, mm-hmm. a few other things were on.
Yeah.
Tom Brady playing the 45 didn't even cross my mind, so really? It didn't keep me up late last night. Look, because it's not going to happen, mm-hmm. okay? You need to get that thought. You want it to happen, Skip, because you know what? I think you want it to happen for more reasons so you can come in here and stick it to me.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really care if Tom Brady plays. Well, you just want to have something to shove in my
face.
Guess
what he did last year? He stuck it right up Coach Belichick's nose, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah. Coach Belichick tried to run him out of town, and he said, okay, Coach, watch this. I'm going to win the MVP this year. I'm going to throw for 505 in the Super Bowl. Wow. Okay. Did he show any signs of regression, or did Father Time tap him on the shoulder last year?
Skip, you remember Peyton Manning 1 year? He threw 39 touchdowns with, 14 picks, over 4,500 yards. And the next year, he stepped off a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
He looked good in the
preseason. It's the old step-off-the-cliff theory.
The
doubters want Tom Brady to step off.
I'm saying, but Skip, no. I'm saying because he's been great, he's been up here for so long.
Yep.
When his play dropped, now I'm not, hit rock bottom, but because he's up here,
mm-hmm.
he takes a 10% dip. It looks as if he stepped off a cliff, mm-hmm. as opposed to Case Keenum taking a 10% dip in his play,
mm-hmm.
because he's so high up.
Okay.
So that's all I'm saying. I think he's going to throw for like 2,000 yards? No. But he's not going to stick around and watch his play deteriorate like that.
The reason it's so hard to process Tom Brady when you watch him speak is he comes across like the nerdy dad next door, highly capable of lame, silly Facebook posts. That's that guy, right?
He is.
That's that guy you saw sitting on his couch.
That's him.
And you say, wait a second, that guy's the reigning MVP of this year, of this league?
Asterisk.
This guy's the greatest football player ever. You can't even put him in the same sentence with football player, right? He's not really a football player to Shannon Sharp, right?
There's an asterisk by that MVP.
Okay. Asterisk because of what?
You know what happened.
What?
Walking to him got injured.
Oh. Well, and then this guy got 12 stitches in his base of his thumb.
Well, right now, Nick Foles is the greatest quarterback.
Okay. Yeah, he is the greatest quarterback. So, what did Deion Branch say the other day? His former teammate, Super Bowl MVP, actually.
I need these guys to stop trumping for Tom Brady. Yeah. Oh, he's so nice. He's so great.
Deion Branch said that you can't tell watching the film or watching on TV just how competitive this guy is until you actually get in his force field. I'm putting some words in his mouth. Until you actually play with him in the locker room. Mm-hmm. What did our guy James Harrison tell us? He went into that locker room last year at the end of the year. Boy, he thought he was going to see something unreal from Tom Brady, right?
Is Tom Brady running for president? Because he got a lot of surrogates coming out here lately, Jenny Town, with all, unless you're around him, you'll never know how competitive he is. Oh, he's such a nice guy.
James Harrison went in highly skeptically into that locker room. His radar was on high alert.
Yeah.
And what did he tell us? Nope, he's real. He's that guy.
Well, James must have played with some jerks at quarterback then.
Well, you could argue, yes, that's fair.
He's competitive. Well, then, if you can't tell how can you not?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is competitive something that you can measure? How do you measure that, Skip? A fourth of a cup, third of a cup, 2 teaspoons, a tablespoon, a dollop, pinch?
You measure it in Super Bowl appearances. Nah,
stop,
and
please. No, you can't.
That's what you can. Yep. That's
and so, that, so guys that don't have Super Bowls or have never gone to Super Bowls or didn't win the Super Bowl, they weren't competitive.
Yep.
So because Tom Brady has 5, that means he's competitive.
You measure it by how many little Edelmans and Amendolas and Hogans he has dragged to Super Bowls. How many Belichicks he has dragged to Super Bowls. That's competitive. It rubs off. It's contagious.
Oh, the same argument I try to use with a certain guy that's out here now dragging teams to NBA finals, but you said he's not competitive. Oh, my goodness.
3-6.
No. You said dragging Edelmans, dragging Amendolas, and Chris Hogan's, and I'm saying dragging those guys that he's drugged to NBA finals.
Yep.
Same thing.
How many times has Brady had a Kyrie?
Randy Moss.
He had him for one basic Randy year.
Moss.
1 year.
Randy
Moss. Did not win the Super Bowl.
He had Randy Moss for 3 years. LeBron had Kyrie for 3 years.
Mm-hmm. So did LeBron drag Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh to Super Bowls, quote unquote?
No.
Mm-mm. They kind of dragged him to the first.
Yeah, don't do that, Skip.
Well, Dwayne Wade dragged him.
You just Skip.
Well, he did. He taught him everything he knows about how to win.
Why you do that?
Well, I didn't do it. Dwayne did it. I'm just repeating what happened.
Well, Coach
happened.
Belichick taught Tom Brady everything he knows about winning.
He did not. He's a defensive coach.
Yeah, exactly. And his defensive game plan is in the Hall of Fame, the one that he shut down the K-gun with. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you remember what he did to the 49ers?
Mm-hmm.
When they was about to go three-peat?
He wasn't the head coach.
He was the D coordinator. Oh, okay. So how think about that, Skip. Think, the defensive coordinator, his game plan. Mm-hmm. Now, the Philly special, that belongs to Dougie P.
That's... No, I believe, if I remember correctly, that Nick Foles ran to the sidelines and said, Philly special?
Who put it in?
Well, it was in the game plan.
Who put it in?
Frank Reich.
No, does he?
He did.
No, he didn't.
Frank Reich's in Indianapolis.
That's
right now,
Dougie
right?
P. Why you want, hold up, Skip. Do you see how you do that?
Well,
you
want to
give
anything.
All you want to do is give all the credit to Brady. Like, Brady, like, he
watched. How can you not? This man just basically predicted. He backed up what he said to Robert Kraft a year ago. He just said, you know what? This is going to be really hard, but I'm going to do it.
It's not going to happen.
That's what he just told you.
And what did I just tell you?
I got to knock on wood because we know that this is a really violent game.
Well, I'm knocking on wood, too.
Yeah, you're wishy. You got voodoo.
I want
no, you got voodoo doll wood.
No, I ain't got
there.
No. I got,
you're
no.
knocking on a voodoo
You and
doll.
I both know he's not playing no four more years.
I do know he
no,
is. I've been telling you that from the start.
Negative.
And you've amended your projections. It used
Negative.
To be this was going to be his last year this year. And,
it
and
was, then until he went upstairs.
And 2 days ago, you said, no, I'll give him one more year.
No,
and
no.
And you're going to have to give him one more year
no.
and one more
it
and one
It would have
more.
Been I'll bet had he not gone upstairs yeah. crying yeah. to his dad. You and I both, yes, he did. Yes, he did. you see what Coach Belichick tried to do, Mr. Kraft? Oh, man, sorry, Daddy. Because that's what he called it. He called it Mr. Kraft in front of everybody else, but he called it Daddy behind closed doors. Mm-hmm. I know.
Yeah, he walked in and said, okay, it is time for you to go tell that guy no.
What did he do
that's
that at?
He did.
Yep. But I thought he only cared about things that matter.
Mm-hmm. Well,
why you care about that? That's football related. Remember, you don't care about football matters anymore. Mm-hmm. You care about family and life and death mm-hmm. and health.
But that was now. This was last trade deadline.
I know.
He said the last two years were not enjoyable.
But
he finally put all that behind him.
Because
he really put Coach Belichick behind
him. Oh, he put that behind him once Jimmy G left out the building.
Mm-hmm.
You put it, you know what he said? You see what he did, Jimmy? Oh, now all of a sudden, the most important thing to me that there's no success, because you know Brian Hoyer. Tom, that you slick.
Mm.
Can't be slick to a can of oil.
Mm.
That'd be over here. I'm slicker than slick.
Yep.
Yep.
They're going back to another Super Bowl. They're the
No,
favorite.
They're not.
Yes, they are.
No, they're not.
Man.
You know what? I tell you what, put some dew on it. They're not going to the Super Bowl.
Okay. I tried to do that earlier. Did I not try that?
I'm saying they're not going.
Oh.
I don't. San Diego might not go, but New England won't
I
be the
I said, I'll give you San Diego for a case of
no,
dew.
No.
They're actually LA now.
No.
Okay.
I'm saying they're not going to be the representative of the AFC, the Patriots. Forget our head to head if it's San Diego, this or that. You guys will not be the representative.
What do you mean? You want the field? Is that what you're saying? Oh, well, you pick San Diego.
No.
That's what
you always try to do me.
Huh?
You always try to give me the field. Because you always want. I give you the field when it comes to LeBron.
All right.
When it comes to the, I was like, you got everybody else, I got Bron.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay.
I got Tom Brady going back to this. All they have to do is win the AFC.
That's it.
Oh, good.
That's it.
So who's going to go to Foxborough and beat him?
They got to come to L.A.
Oh,
and I'm going to the game.
Come to L.A.?
Yep.
And you're going.
I'm going.
Okay.
Well, so one case.
Because last time he suffered a beatdown in the AFC, guess who was on the sideline? I saw it.
What?
Yeah, when he was in Denver.
Really? You were there?
I was there.
Oh, I don't think you were there.
I was there. Yeah, I was on the sideline.
Okay.
The difference maker.
Bond. Ooh, Bond and D-Well was hunting. They were eating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Belichick let him down.
Oh, no. Belichick let him down again.
No mercy. Oh.
Colin Kaepernick has been all over the news this week for his new Nike ad, but one NFL player criticized both Kaepernick and his former teammate Eric Reid for how they handled their protest during the anthem, which started 2 years ago. Josh Norman of the Redskins told the Washington Post, quote, "They weren't really organized and communicating with nobody. Malcolm Jenkins was one of those who had a better plan than what was going on. When Kaepernick took a knee, everybody was in shock and everything. But when the bullets start flying, I was trying to figure out where he was at. He was ducking. When you're in the line of fire and the guys that are over here are trying to have a conversation to move stuff forward, he didn't want to have that conversation." Hmm. We are joined by Rob Parker, but Shannon, I am going to start with you on this. Mm-hmm. Does Josh have a point?
No. Just because Josh didn't know what Cap was doing doesn't mean he didn't have a plan. And because Malcolm did it one way doesn't mean the way Cap did it was wrong. That's the problem. And the thing he's talking about, well, when the bullets started flying, Cap was the only one getting criticized. Skip, Cap didn't anticipate any of this happening because it was the second time that he actually sat on the bench that he got caught. The first time, no one caught him.
That's true.
The second time they caught him and they asked him, why were you sitting?
Well, they didn't catch him with the camera.
Right.
They panned out and saw him sitting down during the anthem.
Yep.
And so he talked about when the bullets started flying. Mm-hmm. When the bullets started flying, Cap was the only one taking the criticism because no one else was doing anything. What do you mean when the bullets started flying? He lost his job because of what he did. I can't say because, well, Skip said that. Mm-hmm. Shannon, you didn't say that, so yep. Skip is right, you're wrong.
Yep.
That's not how, maybe Cap chose to say, you know what, this is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to make my stance, I'm going to give $1 million, mm-hmm. and I'm going to give it to charities or organizations that's going to help promote my cause. Mm-hmm. Maybe that was his course of action. Maybe that was his plan of action. But mm-hmm. because he didn't have 7, 8, 9, 10 guys, he come up with a catchy name, the Coalition, get in bed with the NFL. I mean, not in bed, but here's the thing. The NFL wanted to bounce ideas off them. Yeah. Maybe Cap said, you know what? Just let me sit in the background. Mm-hmm. Because in the original meeting of the Coalition and the NFL, mm-hmm. Cap was not invited. Mm-hmm. And then someone looked around like, well, hold on. We're having this discussion.
Yep.
But the guy that caused this discussion isn't here. There's something wrong about that. Then they invited Cap. But maybe Cap just chooses just like, you know what, guys? Mm-hmm. I'm going to sit this one out. I'm going to sit in the background. Y'all go ahead and handle it. I'm going to do it my way. Mm-hmm. But I think Josh Norman is off base with this one. He can't say because Malcolm Jenkins is doing it his way and Malcolm is doing an unbelievable job. He's continued what Cap started. Malcolm has continued, and he's taken it a step further. Mm-hmm. But I disagree with Josh Norman in this situation.
I'm with you, Shannon, and this is the problem. It's not about the process. See, this is what he's caught up. It's just like a lot of people say, well, I understand the cause, but this ain't the right venue or this ain't the way you should protest.
Right.
No, that's not what it's about. And even when you look at the players around the league, they've all done it differently.
Right.
Some people do a fist. Some people kneel down. There's no uniform way that you have to come to protest.
Right.
Everybody does it their own way. And there are some people who are with Kaepernick who could never have the guts to kneel down or do it. Doesn't mean that they don't believe that he's right.
Right, correct.
And we accept that, right?
Correct.
Everybody can't do it. Everybody's not built that way. But it doesn't mean that you can't have your way. So when I hear this, it's just another smokescreen to me about the real cause. Because talking about the organization of it, I think it's a personal thing. Colin Kaepernick gave up everything because he believed in it. And he's not, I think people want him to do more. He's not in the league anymore.
Right.
I'm going to instruct you what to do, Shannon. Right. You're in the league, mm-hmm. Skip. You're in the league. You're mm-hmm. making money. I can't tell you what to do.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's easy to work with the league, Skip, mm-hmm. if you're in the league.
Yes.
It's kind of hard to tell the league. I think
I'm not in the league anymore. Right. Once you're out, you're out.
Malcolm has an advantage.
Absolutely.
He's a current player.
And he's a star player. So they're
on
more
the championship.
On a championship team. So they're more apt to sit down with him.
Correct.
And listen to what he has to say. Mm-hmm. Kaepernick's an outsider now.
Right.
And so I think it's harder. So I really don't understand the criticism, to be honest. I just think he wasn't involved. It's a way of saying, well, I didn't really know what to do. No, other people didn't have to get instructions from Kaepernick. You know what they did? They did what they felt inside them. Some guys went and said, I'm going to get down too. I'm with him. Other people said, I'm going to raise my fist. Right. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do this. Everybody does it differently, and I think Josh is off base. Hmm.
So, as we all know in this world we live in, timing is everything. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure exactly when these words came out of Josh Norman's mouth. Maybe a couple of days ago. It's unclear in this Washington Post story. Right.
Probably not before.
But they just hit the fan on the night that Collins' Nike commercial is going to drop like a big, great bombshell in the middle of the game. And we have all seen it. You haven't seen it on the big screen.
Right.
But we have all seen the clip. And it's, I mean, Nike, they're always powerful. But this is special.
Yeah.
So Josh is wrong place, wrong time. And I'm pretty sure he's going to take a lot of heat for these remarks because it's harsh to say when the bullets started flying, he's ducking. You know, that's like, whoa, Colin Kaepernick ducked? Okay.
The bullets were flying in his direction.
I know. So, look, is there some truth to what Josh said? There is some truth in there, and I'm going to try to detail it because, look, there are two very different impacts operating here for Colin Kaepernick.
Right.
There's an internal in the league impact, and there's an external outside the league in the world impact. We all know Colin's external impact beyond the NFL was extraordinary. It was historical. He is going to go down in history as the face of a crucial movement in this country. He is going to become, I don't know if he'll become Muhammad Ali-esque, not Dr. King-esque, but he's going to be up in the pantheon. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
I think he's already risen.
Absolutely.
There's risen
no
up
doubt
there.
About it.
That's the external. That's the world impact. But internally within the league, I do think some of these players, and by the way, Josh made some comments like these when he sat right here. Mm-hmm. He alluded to this point of view that he wished Colin, I'm going to put some words in his mouth, but they weren't this harsh, but that he wished Colin had spoken up more for the players. Because a year ago, during the last season, you know, Eric Reed was the one who said that Malcolm Jenkins kicked Colin Kaepernick out of the coalition. And then Malcolm said, no, I kept him in the loop, but he preferred our relationship to be more informal. Hmm. And Colin has not spoken. In fact, it was amusing to me. I saw one review of the new commercial, and the reviewer said that it had a surprise ending. And I thought, I just watched it. It's not a surprise ending. And the reviewer was saying that you don't know it's Colin Kaepernick speaking. Well, I know his voice that well, but the reviewer didn't know his voice because we haven't heard from him. When's the last time that he did a media session?
Right.
It was at the end of his 49er career, right?
Yes.
Okay, and remember GQ had in its Colin Kaepernick article, in which he was not quoted in, but it said that GQ said that he has grown in his wisdom in the power of silence. You know, we talked about the power of silence, and I think Colin's kind of stayed in the background because his mystique grew, right? His stature grew the more he didn't speak. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure there's some players that wished he had been their out front spokesman, right? Mm-hmm. That he had been a defining voice for the coalition.
But the only thing, I hear that, Skip, but I think he's very clear on what he was all about and what this was all about to me. I don't know what else he would need to say other than, I'm against police brutality and what's going on and the unarmed black men killed by white cops. That was an epidemic for a hot minute in this country.
Right.
More than that.
Right.
But the thing is, Skip, is that, he didn't tell anybody. Okay. Maybe he wanted to chart his own plan.
He did.
It's kind of like the Nike. It's being reported that Nike did not tell the NFL to give them the heads up what they were going to do with Cap, and they definitely didn't give them the heads up that they're going to drop this commercial during Thursday night game, because what would have happened? Cap, probably he felt if I tell somebody, they might try and talk me out of it, or they might try and tell me to do it a different way.
But is it fair, do you guys see that he became more of an external activist and powerful voice than internally within the league?
Yes.
And the players are saying, what about us? And he left them behind because, like you said, the league left him behind. He wasn't able to play.
The league wasn't going to deal with him because they felt this problem was caused was caused because of him.
That is
so
correct.
I'm not dealing with you. You caused this.
Okay. And just for the record, because I brought it up several times during the last football season, but our guy John Wooten, a longtime close friend of mine, you know him very
yes.
well, is the head of the Fritz Pollard Alliance that oversees the Rooney Rule.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to him several times, like early last season, and he said, please try to get Shannon to get Colin just to talk to me,
mm-hmm.
to talk to Jim Brown, just so we know where his heart is. Does he want to play anymore? Does he want to be a franchise quarterback?
Yes.
Because if he can just come and talk to us, this was a quote from John, I'll have him a job in this league tomorrow.
Right.
But I need to know, because he didn't want to put his reputation, John didn't
right.
want to put his reputation on the
right.
line for Colin if he wasn't sure where his heart was.
Right.
And nobody could get Colin to speak
right.
at all. Right? So I think that's some of what Josh Norman is trying, that he's coming from that position of, gee, we need it, we had it right on the verge, and then we didn't have him as our spokesman.
Well,
right?
Colin's looking at it like you say, okay, is it words or deeds? Now, I'm behind the scenes.
Okay,
I give him $1 million.
Well,
you see
that's,
me out here in the
fair.
Community.
In the
you see what I'm doing. Okay, other quarterbacks not saying, well, I want to play. Jay Cutler had a job here.
Jay Cutler had to get begged. He had to get begged to come back to play in the NFL.
Thank you.
Begged.
Right. So that's what he's saying though, Skip. He's like, look, I'm working out. I'm thinking, you know, here's the thing. Okay, I get released from San Francisco. I'm going through what a quarterback normally does.
Mm-hmm.
I work out in the offseason. I need to tell you that I want to play, mm-hmm. even though I've only been in the league for 5 years.
Yep.
A 5-year guy needs to tell, not a 15-year vet.
He didn't retire, and then somebody maybe like heard word right. that maybe he was interested in coming back.
Right.
He's a viable guy who went to 3 NFC championship
he
games.
Did. He's viable. Look, I'm not sure he's ever going to be able to prove it, but it's clearly collusion. So we all agree there.
Yes.
But Malcolm Jenkins did forge through with his coalition
yes.
a deal in which the NFL, in the end, agreed to pledge $89 million to black community causes, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
Do you trust that? I don't know. I said the other day how much I admire Malcolm Jenkins because
right.
he kept playing, which is it's hard to be a leader of a team and a leader of a movement at the same time, and he pulled it off.
Let me put it in this context.
Yep.
The NFL views Malcolm Jenkins as Dr. King.
Mm-hmm.
The NFL views Colin Kaepernick as Malcolm X.
That's true.
Which one are
they going to more likely
that's
to be willing
bingo.
To deal
that's
with?
That's bingo.
100%. Yep. And that's where the issue comes in.
Right.
Yep.
And I think it's harder. I think Kaepernick has been crystal clear, put his money where his mouth is, mm-hmm. been out in the community. This isn't some grandstanding where you throw a grenade and then run the other way.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's really serious about this. And then the other part of it is, I admire this as well, because Kaepernick is mixed. He's mixed. Skip, he could easily be like, well.
Yep.
Well, I'm not. I'm halfway in this. He's all the way in.
Yeah, and I'm. You know, come on, guys. I've made $40-50 million. I mean, I'm good.
Sure.
But it's.
How much did he lose?
Yeah, he lost.
Right.
Yeah. And that's the thing. He's prime of his career. Skip the guy. What is he? 29 now. He hadn't played in 2-3. This is about to be mm-hmm. the third year. So the guy lost his career at 26, 27.
Yeah. So I don't begrudge however many millions he's getting from Nike now
right.
for this campaign
of
because he
not.
Lost more. From not being able to play quarterback.
Well, Nike's not paying him $12 million a year.
I don't think so.
What he was making his last year in San Francisco. And that's the thing. I don't believe people like, well, see, I knew this was about money.
Yep.
Skip, it's hard for me to believe that someone gets in the civil service business
mm-hmm.
thinking they're going to make money.
That's not what it's about.
Colin Kaepernick took like, you know what? This is what could happen. I'm going to take a knee. People are going to be in an uproar. And then 3 years from now, Nike's going to get on. They're going to have. Really?
They're going to give me a T-shirt and a commercial.
Really?
And I'll be golden.
No.
No.
We don't buy that at all. No, that's not what he was thinking. I
admire him every day of what he's been through.
I hear
the
you.
The sacrifice that he's put in.
And
the only way things change in this world is through sacrifice.
Yep.
No, nothing changes without sacrifice.
I hear you.
And I've seen so many people have to sacrifice to make this world
so,
better.
So, Josh Norman, my friend, your seat is going to get very hot today.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. But they make it seem like Colin Kaepernick was this big talker to begin with, Skip. Mm-hmm.
He wasn't.
But you know, he's really good at it when he decides.
Yes, sure. Yes.
I think it's nice that we heard from him in the commercial,
no.
which you mentioned, his voice. I look forward to hearing more from him. If we
sure.
start to hear a little bit more now, Rob, thank you.
Well, you said that you want to see him go on tour.
I mean,
how about right here? How about that, Shannon?
I think we've invited him.
Yep.
Welcome
okay.
him.
Okay.
no mercy.
Thank you, as always, for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. We'll be back at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. See you then.
Facts, sports, one of one.